I think it'll turn out to be a passing phenomenon because I think it's a product of cheap oil, virtual slave labour in developing countries and lax environmental regulations in developing countries, and I don't think it's economically or environmentally sustainable. So I think it will pass. In the meantime, it's doing a great deal of damage in terms of spreading pests and diseases around the world. You know, that's not good for the human population anywhere. As far as local economies go, I think we will see a return to local economies, even though there's the talk of the globalisation and the internet, the globalisation of the internet. At the same time, the internet is allowing for a localisation. And I can speak from our own experience with our farm stay. We've got the one cottage here, and before the internet it was empty most of the time, whereas now we're getting sort of 90-95% bookings. The internet is providing a free exchange of ideas and information. And you know, I get concerned about the global free trade thing. So in 2006, I started dumping some ideas off onto the page of my website. I guess that is the thing about the internet. It is much more democratic than our democracies have become.
What are some of the issues, Barry, that you sort of see as bad results of global free trade at the moment? What are you seeing?
Moving materials around the world is moving pests and diseases around the world. There's all sorts of science that says, you know, the protocols are in place. But, you know, and I'm from a technical background, I sort of understand science, but I think it's taken too far. Look at all the chemicals and the pharmaceutical products that have been released over the years on the basis of scientific advice and subsequently removed. Scientists are a bit like adolescent boys. They sort of think they know everything, and it's not till down the track that you discover, you know, things aren't all they used to. Might have been.
Earlier you indicated we need to get back to perhaps more local trading rather than this global pitching all the time. How do you see a small country like Australia sustaining itself with that?
It's happening. You look at how the farmers' markets movement's growing. The people are rediscovering what food's supposed to taste like. You can shift processed food around the world, I guess, but fresh food is no longer fresh once you've moved it around the world. It's an oxymoron. I don't see any great future in international aviation. So if you've got to fly stuff around the world, you know, it won't be long before you can forget all about that. There is a growing sense of the importance of local. And the conversations I have with the people staying in our farm stay have changed over the last few years. And there's definitely, I believe, in the city, a growing awareness of the need for local produce, local farms. The notion that some economists think that, you know, you can just buy food in from around the world is quite bizarre. Sure, we sit on a lot of mineral resources that we can sell to the world if the economy happens to be going well, but that can change pretty quickly. And if we've become dependent on imported food, we're putting ourselves in a very vulnerable position. A country's capacity to feed itself is fundamental to its security. There's no point having a 21st century defence force if you've got to import food because, you know, if push comes to shove, we won't get a food supply. So we need to produce it ourselves.
To balance that, Barry, we've also got to get rid of, you know, millions and millions of tons of grain somewhere. We've also got to get rid of millions or hundreds of thousands of tons of beef and sheep meat. And, you know, your local farmer's market's not going to do that.
Absolutely. That's where I'm trying to get my head around. You know, I think going forward, as fuel prices go up, I'm not convinced that in 10 or 20 years' time we will have an excess of grains. So I think already the grain farmers are feeling the pinch with the high cost of nitrogen and other fertilisers. So I'm not at all convinced that we will have excess grains in the future. We probably will have excess grass-fed meat. And if the world's hungry, they'll pay for it, or they'll buy it if they've got the money, and if they've not, they won't. You talk of free markets, but the market forces dictate supply and demand. So if we're creating an excess, then we're ignoring basic economics and producing more than there's a demand for. So if we talk about free market economics, we apparently aren't listening to the market signals if we're producing more than we can sell.